Our scripture reading this afternoon is, once again, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 24. The focus of the sermon will be on verses 21 and 22. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. This is the word of our God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, we live in a culture, in a day, that letter writing has pretty much disappeared. We send emails. We send text messages and things like that. But on the other hand, despite that, with all of the social media that we have, there is a certain sense where there's a little bit too much information about people. I really don't care what people are having for lunch and the fact that they're taking a bath after a long day. I don't care. I care about how they're doing, how their health is, what their family life is like, and things like that, things that matter. How's the job? How are your parents? How are your kids? How are your aunts and uncles and so forth? How's work going? And in fact, in many respects, that's the way letter writing used to be. There was open communication, and you'd really pour your heart into actually writing with paper and pen. To be honest, I can't recall the last time I wrote a letter with a pen. And I dare say probably many of you could say the same thing. It's just easy to pick up our phone, go to the computer, whatever the case may be, and just do a couple of little words like, dinner tonight? How profound. But the interesting thing about this is that we have an epistle here that says very little about how Paul is doing. So little, in fact, that as we'll see, he sends as his courier a fellow minister to fill them in with the news. And you would think, well, after all, Paul and probably the person who may have written this by hand as Paul told him what to write, you would think that he would understand, well, why not give full news about what's going on? We get little hints Very little hints, even in this passage, about part of the reason why that may be. But it's also a reminder to us that as we discuss things among one another, especially church to church, that we should be keeping up with each other. How are things doing? In, for instance, Westminster OPC in Bartlesville, we know now, in God's providence and in his kindness, they've just installed a man to be their pastor. We know to a degree how things are going at Caney OPC, Park Woods, Lincoln. But we should be doing more of this. And in fact, we even see in these two little verses a model set before us of churches interacting one with another to rejoice over things together, to pray for things together, and to mourn over things together. Last week, in the last few weeks even, we've been discussing our spiritual warfare, standing firm in the strength of the Lord, bearing the full armor of God, using the strategy of prayer. And in many respects, those were sermons that get the blood rushing. We're in a fight. We're in warfare. We're in battle. And then we come to this passage. Oh, I'm sending Tychicus to you to update you. It's almost anticlimactic in one sense. But here we are. Paul sending news about himself. Not in writing. We don't know all the details. But it is, again, a reminder to us that we should be keeping up to date with our brothers and sisters in other churches. We are Presbyterian, after all. Let's behave like it. Not just in our formalities and making sure we have our form of government and book of church order, our T's crossed and our I's dotted. No, but really being Presbyterian. That's what I want us to see today, is that the church does well in giving and receiving news of how God is working in their lives. The church does well in giving and receiving news of how God is working in their lives. We'll look at this under two simple headings. First of all, news from a fellow minister. And secondly, encouragement from a fellow minister. So first of all, news from a fellow minister, or Paul's fellow minister. Again, verse 21. So that you may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. Now, the first thing we see is that Tychicus is bringing news of how Paul is doing. Now, in one sense, the Ephesians already know this. Despite the fact that there was no internet, there was no television, there was no radio to hear the news about someone's arrest, there's no doubt that by this time the Ephesians had to know he was in Rome in prison, especially given what we saw in Acts chapter 20. On the tail end of his last missionary journey, the elders of the Ephesian church came, and Paul said to them, "This will probably be the last time I ever see you." And they wept, because they knew what that meant. So in one sense, they knew it. Paul is under guard in Rome. We see this in Acts chapter 28. There's no question that despite the freedoms that he had while in Rome, those 2 years under guard, there still had to be some sense of stress. Were his accusers going to come to Rome and condemn him? But it's not just he who was under stress. No doubt the Ephesian church was stressed for him. Think of it this way. Through the years in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church, we have heard news of imprisonments of some of our foreign missionaries. And that stresses us. We worry. We get concerned. We pray earnestly. It disheartens us in some ways because we see our fellow minister and laborer in the word in prison because of what he's doing. And sometimes they're not even told why. Though, of course, we do know why. But the real news does come through now Tychicus. And notice, that's how Paul is doing, but it's also what Paul is doing. You see, Paul is not just sitting in a jail cell feeling sorry for himself. That's the thing. How many of us, if we got arrested for our faith and put in jail, would really start to whine and complain and feel sorry for ourselves? I dare say, probably a bit too much. But even in Paul's freedoms, he shared the gospel. He preached and he taught. He's not feeling sorry for himself. He still had a certain measure of guarded ability. And again, from Acts 28, we know that he continued to preach and to teach. Now, interestingly, Paul does not really explain that in this letter. That could be simply because the Ephesians probably knew about it. But we also know that he sends Tychicus to inform them about what he's doing, not just how he's doing. And Paul doesn't mention any of this except in those little words, ambassador in chains. That's because that's not the purpose of this letter. Purpose of this letter was to remind the Ephesian church and us today of the spiritual riches of the grace we have in Christ Jesus and what our responsibility is in our spiritual walk united to Christ. That's the purpose of the letter. That's the breakdown. The news comes from his emissary, the beloved brother and faithful minister, Tychicus. Now, Tychicus is known very well among us, right? We all know who he is. Well, not really. His name is mentioned 5 times in the New Testament. The first time we see him is actually in Acts chapter 20. He is one of those Asians who accompanied Paul on the close of his third missionary journey, listed as an Asian, probably in the region of Ephesus. But more than that, we see that he's mentioned again, not just here, but in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, in a near parallel passage. He's mentioned again in Titus and also 2 Timothy. And in each of those cases, Tychicus was being sent for the purpose of assisting. So why Tychicus? Why send him? Well, for one thing, like Timothy in many respects, Paul describes him here, a beloved brother and faithful minister. A brother. Not flesh and blood, but it's clearly a term of spiritual affection. And we use this terminology all the time. We can sometimes think of friends that we've grown up with or neighbors that we played with and we grew closer and closer, or even in college. And such a friend became like a brother to us. We even do this with other family members. They're like my adopted parents or adopted grandparents or adopted grandkids even. It's a term of affection, and in this case, because we are brothers in Christ, it is due to our being in the same family, the same spiritual family with God as our Father. It is a reminder that God has adopted us, brought us into his family, and placed the name Christian upon us. So the term by itself, brother, shows affection, spiritual affection, but it's more than that because Paul calls him a beloved brother. There's a sense of redundancy there. He's not just a brother, as great as that is. He's a beloved brother, a term of affection. This just simply amplifies that loving relationships that Christians are to have toward one another. And thus, as we share news one with another, We do so because we're beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. We think of ministers whom we have prayed for that some of us have never even met due to serious accidents or sicknesses or being shipped from one place to the other because of a change in call. We do this because even those we have never met are our beloved brothers in Christ. But Tychicus is even more than just a beloved brother. He is a faithful minister. And this is a word that we get deacon from, minister or servant. And in this context, both are necessary. Tychicus needed to be a beloved brother, trustworthy, and a faithful minister and servant of the Lord, because he was bringing the very God-inspired word to Ephesus, and probably also to the Colossians, and also delivering the letter to Philemon, probably heading to all those regions, informing the churches how he's doing. Both are needed. A minister to deliver the content of the letter and a brother due to the general news. Well, that's the news. How Paul is doing, what he's doing, and who's bringing the message. Well, this brings us then to our second point, encouragement from a fellow minister or Paul's fellow minister. Again, verse 21 and 22, so that you may know how I am doing, how I am, and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and that he may encourage your heart. You see, we're getting to the heart of part of the task of a faithful minister. One of the things that I have to do, because we were a church plant, we still receive a little bit of funding from the home office, but each month I need to give a report. How's the church doing? What kind of challenges are there? What kind of fruits are we seeing? Things like that. And trust me, friends, I don't get into the nitty-gritty of your lives, okay? I don't name names. I don't say this person has this struggle and that person has this struggle. Things are kept general. But it's so that those who are on the Committee on Home Missions and Church Extensions can know somewhat what to pray for. That's the giving of news. They've invested in you. And they want to know that we're doing well. They want to know how can we pray to strengthen and uplift us. And so part of the task of a faithful minister is to share that news with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Part of that task involves, as Tychicus is supposed to do, that he may encourage their hearts. Encourage their hearts. This is Tychicus's specific task at hand. Now, there must have been some reason why the Ephesians needed this encouragement, and there are probably a number of reasons, a number of things pressing on the Ephesians as to why they might need encouragement. It is not likely that it's just a simple reminder, hey, be encouraged. There's something behind this. You see, this task as a faithful minister is what gets behind the idea of the pastoral side of ministry. It's not just preaching. It's not just teaching. But it's also coming alongside saints who might be discouraged, who might be brokenhearted over various things, and providing encouragement for their hearts. Pastoral work. Shepherding, binding the wounds, praying with and for them. But again, in what way did the Ephesians need encouragement? There probably were any number of ways. Well, for one thing, to encourage them in some of the things that Paul has theologically just written in this epistle. opening this up and saying, look, this is what Paul means here. This is what Paul means when he says we're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. This is what it means to be united together, being of one spirit and one mind. This is what it means to live your life as a Christian, working with your hands the things which is good. Husbands loving wives, wives submitting to husbands, children obeying parents, parents raising their children in admonition of the Lord. Probably expounding more on what Paul meant. Theological instruction, but pastorally doing so. An encouragement and a reminder of the blessings that we have, and how often do we need reminder of that? You see, as much in the Reformed faith as we love Ephesians 1 and 2, we love to pick it apart and show how it teaches the predestinating work of God. That passage is there for your encouragement, to give you comfort, to uplift your spirits when times are difficult. God has blessed you in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That's intended to encourage you. The commands given in the second half of this epistle, those are given to encourage you into right living. You're supposed to be Christ-like. This is what it looks like. This is how you do it. This is how husbands do it. This is how wives do it. How children, parents, slaves, master, no matter what vocation or calling that the Lord has given you, this is how you do it. That's an encouragement to you. But it's also encouragement in the warfare. You see, that's the more immediate context, is it not? Putting on that full armor of God. Persecution for the Christian faith. And the Ephesians knew that full well because a full-blown riot was there because of Paul. They understood this. And so the discouragement would easily be there. And so Paul sends Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister, to encourage them in the face of persecution. And think of this. To remind them to be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might, bearing the full armor of God. In other words, he's reminding the Ephesian church, he is coming as Paul's messenger of this letter, to remind them also that in God's strength, they can do it. You see, God enables. He strengthens so that in any situation you might find yourself in, negatively speaking because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can withstand it. And Tychicus is there to encourage. And notice also the strong emphasis here on warfare, because then Paul, at the end of verse 20, or in verse 20, says, speaking of the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Now, imagine reading a letter, handwritten, from a loved one. You read through it, how things are going, this and that, and you come to this, an ambassador in chains. Even if you knew it, it would be the kind of a reminder that just sort of smacks you in the head and makes you realize, oh yeah, I forgot. Our brother is in prison for the sake of the gospel. And how quickly that could be a discouragement. And in one sense, because they're sitting there probably thinking, how long before I'm there too? And you see, my friends, as we hear of other Christians around the world who suffer persecution for the gospel, who are thrown in prison, there is no question. I know that it must run through your minds. I know it runs through mine. It runs through the minds of others. how long before I'm in that position? And so here comes Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister, to encourage their hearts in the face of this spiritual warfare. You see, we need this encouragement. Because of the spiritual warfare that takes place, the persecution that we face at the hands of men, as Paul reminds us throughout this epistle, is not just simply against flesh and blood. Constantly, through the voice of real men and the whispering in your own ear, all you have to do to get out of this is simply give up the gospel. Stop worshiping this Jesus, because Jesus isn't here to help you, is he? If he's really there, why are you here? You can go back home and see your family. Live a fruitful life. Nobody will bother you again. And you see, brothers and sisters, we think about those in terms of prison life and persecution from, say, the government. But what about even in our own families, in our neighborhoods, our jobs? How many people give up promotions because that would require them working on the Lord's Day in a work that is not necessary or merciful? How many people get ostracized from their family because they proclaim the name of Christ? And how uncomfortable that is. And so you have those whispers in your ear. You know, I know you love your family. If you just don't talk about Jesus and don't even worry about Jesus and just sort of give in to the pressure, then your family will love you. This is the struggle that we face as Christians. And so Tychicus is sent to encourage the brothers. And see, as we share news about other churches and their struggles, it reminds us we're not alone. It reminds us that it's not necessarily because we're doing something wrong. And more accurately, it's probably because we're doing something right. And so it becomes an encouragement, because I have faithful laborers in other areas doing the same thing who can sympathize and empathize with what I'm going through here. And so we share news one with another. Now, brothers and sisters, I hope you make use of things like the New Horizons, our denominational monthly magazine, checking the website even for news on various things. Now, certain things can't be published because of the safety involved with some of the missionaries and so forth. But we read news of churches that become particularized, like us. And we rejoice because we know what they went through to get there. And other churches, when they read of us particularizing, they rejoice because they remember when they were there. And it's an encouragement to them to know that the gospel is going forth. When we see more men in the ministry ordained to the gospel service, it warms our heart. When we read the little blurb of children reciting the catechism, it warms our heart, also challenges us a little bit too. But then we read also of difficult things, tragedies, ministers who suddenly are taken ill or even die in this life. And we mourn for them. We mourn for that church that now needs to go and search for a shepherd, while at the same time mourning the one they just lost. You read also of the struggles of ministers who are deposed because of sins that they have been a part of. And you weep and you mourn. Because you recognize, in my heart, I could do the same thing. And so we pray for that congregation for healing. I can say that in times when our church has been on the monthly calendar, that in Facebook, I have actually received Facebook private messages on those days encouraging us, convicting me because I don't do that as I should. It becomes an encouragement even to you when you read names and it's like, oh, I remember that name. Because they come up again and again. For good reason. When we have people from the home office to come and describe what the missionaries are doing or even home missions are doing, it warms our heart to see the gospel going forth. It encourages your heart. And this is what we do as a church. We communicate with one another. This is what being Presbyterian is about. It's not simply the Robert's Rules and the Book of Church Order, as good as those things can be. It's a reminder that we are bound together. We are one church, not just simply a bunch of churches. And so we give news to one another. I share news to Westminster when I go up there. They share news with us. Get to know your brothers and sisters. Encourage them. Give your concerns to them so that they can pray for you. This union that we have with Christ extends in all areas. We share, we mourn, we rejoice, and most especially, we worship together. You look at these two verses and you think, in one sense, how anticlimactic. After discussing the warfare that we are under, taking up your full armor, going into battle, and then you have these two lines. Well, I'm going to send you Tychicus and hear some news. But my friends, in many respects, the sending of a man with news and to receive news and to provide encouragement, that is taking up the armor of God. That is standing strong in the might of our God. That is what encourages us and what encourages one another. Take time sometime. Open up the church directory if you have it, meaning the OPC directory. Randomly send a handwritten note. Pray for them. Dear Pastor so-and-so, please pass on to your church that I'm praying for you. I can assure you, notes received in the mail like that are an encouragement. We are one body. We ought to encourage one another as best we can in our struggles, in our walks, rejoicing together as we need to, mourning together as we need to. This past General Assembly, a minister that we had been praying for some time because of a bicycle riding accident. He was there as a commissioner. He stood up during the roll to announce his name. Everything stopped, and everyone applauded, giving thanks to God that he was alive and there. That's what encourages our hearts. Those are the kinds of things that we, as a bigger body than just here in Providence, Tulsa, these are the things that we as a whole church need to be doing for one another. That's what it means, ultimately, what Paul is talking about, that we are eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This is what's going on. And so as we leave here this day, think about ways that you can encourage other churches or other men, uplift them in their struggles. They may not tell you everything. They don't have to. You can still pray for them, and you know what? God knows exactly what they need. So think of ways in which you can reach out, what we as a body can do to give news of us, receive news of others, and be praying one for another. Because that's how we maintain that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That is how we fight the good fight, standing strong in the Lord, bearing the full armor of God, with all prayer and supplication for the saints. Let's pray.